Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fair Tax Time Radio, where the men are men and the women are soft. Yeah, we talk about money and how the government gets it, as opposed to how we'd like them to get it, via the fair tax, that is. Sit back and listen or participate in the chat room with us. We'd like to hear from you.
Well, good evening and welcome everybody to Fair Tax Time Radio. In a moment, I'll bring our guest on. Before doing that, I'd like to make a few announcements. If you'd like to speak with our guest, please call in at 619-393-6478. Press the 1 on your telephone. If your group has a upcoming event or an activity, we'd like to share that with you. I also want to take a minute to thank our great supporter, the Fat Jack's Bar and Grill out on Highway 18 in Apple Valley, for providing our meeting place for the High Desert Fair Tax Support Group Saturday, third Saturday of each month from 10 to 1. Thank you, Fat Jack's. I see that our guest is on the line. I'm going to open his telephone line right now, and let's see if we can get his line open. Paul Chabot, do I have you on the line, sir?
You got me loud and clear on my end. How am I doing on yours?
You're doing fine here. And I know that a lot of people, Paul, know you here locally. But as you can imagine, our guests are all over the country. And you have a very, very distinguished background. And you're a real patriot, and we're very proud to know you and have you hopefully represent us the next time out. So I'm going to just hand you the mic, let you introduce yourself to the folks around the country, and maybe a little later in the show we can take some phone calls. And you know they're going to ask you about taxation on this show, right?
Sure, good. And I hope they do. That's a top priority for us as a nation for survival and helping our families and our communities get back on our feet. A lot of problems. High taxation across the board is definitely a hindrance for those efforts.
Well, God bless you. We're happy to hear that. We have a congressman up in our district in 8 that hasn't wanted to talk about taxes. However, lately he's changed his view somewhat. So anyhow, Paul, I'm going to give you the mic. Why don't you go ahead and get started. Tell us all about you, and we'll open up the lines later for some calls.
Sure, sounds great. Well, my name is Paul Chabot, a Republican running for U.S. Congress in California's 31st district. Folks can reach me through our website, which is voteforavet.com. And I live out here in the town of Rancho Cucamonga, Southern California. 41 years of age, married, 4 young kids, been in the military 14 years, currently a lieutenant commander, U.S. Navy intel officer, did my active duty tour in 2008 in Iraq, been an unpaid reserve deputy sheriff in San Bernardino County for, it'll be 20 years coming up this summer, and my priorities are really bringing back America's strong family community values, rebuilding this nation. We talk about the principles and values that we've gotten away from, getting back to the core principles, helping folks get back to work, improving our schools, strengthening our military. And a lot of the work, John, that you do with the taxes is critical to that effort for the survival of this nation. We know that we cannot continue to go down this road any further. There is a cliff of spending which is before us as a nation. And I've got 4 young kids, John, and I tell you, it's shameful what today's leaders are doing to the next generation and what they are handing them to fix. So I'd rather fix it now. It's our responsibility, and that's why I'm running, to help this nation become truly great again and prosperous, and to make sure that we can fight ISIS and keep that off our shores, to make sure that our enemies fear us as they should, that our allies trust and respect us, but also equally important so that hardworking families here in the Inland Empire and all across this country can continue to put food on the table, provide for their family, so that small businesses can survive, and so that the next generation wanting to become business owners have the ability, the prosperity, to be able to do so. It's the great American dream, and unfortunately, we're not handing that off to the next generation.
Well, so right you are, Paul. And for the folks around the country that aren't familiar with Paul Chabot, he ran against a Democrat that just barely made the cut. And I might add that they wanted that 31st district so badly they spent an extra $4 million and brought out half of Washington, D.C. to get it. And I can say this, maybe Paul can't. I kind of get the feeling that a lot of dead people voted in that election as well. And so, Paul, would you like to start taking some calls, or do you have some more things you'd like to talk about?
No, look, I'm at your leisure. I love taking calls, talking to the people. That's what it's all about. Love to take calls. And we can also talk more about the race and some interesting things that we found out about running, and I think what can help other candidates and other just good old ordinary average Americans around this country, how they can get involved in this process and not get shut out by the extreme left that has an ability to use tremendous amounts of money to tear down good people.
Well, I know what you're saying, Paul. As you know, I have worked with Election Integrity and have been out at the polls, and here in California, we have a system that doesn't even meet federal compliance, and so we hope that we'll get this squared away in the near future. Our elections out here are very questionable, to say the least. I have a caller here. I think it's from Chicago. Let me open the line. This looks like Ms. Marilyn Rickert out of Chicago. Do I have a correct number on that?
You do.
Well, welcome, Marilyn.
Why is it you talk about dead people voting and then come to me?
Well, I don't. I just figure you're from Illinois. I think you have a similar problem.
Oh, yeah, we sure do. That's for sure. Well, it's good to hear that we have a candidate running. This is wonderful. I am really not familiar with you. Other than John running your name past me, this is the first chance I've had to talk to you. What do you think are the three most important things you would like to work on when you get into Congress?
Yeah, thanks, Marilyn. Great to hear your voice. Look forward to working with you and continuing to hear your ideas. Three priorities for this district, and I think for this country, really boil down to three things: jobs, family, and safety. Unfortunately, despite what we hear from the media, we do not have an influx of good-paying jobs. Most households today have many who are unemployed or underemployed, so we've got to look at bringing good-paying jobs to our communities, but also encouraging job growth, reducing the taxes that burden so many, allow families to be able to spend that money. Family, obviously, then segues quite comfortably into that next sector. As a father with four kids, my number one job is a daddy, and I want to make sure this nation is strong, that our kids have excellent schools, safe communities, a prosperous nation to inherit. I very much believe in strong family community values, that those are so important to the upbringing of a child. And then last but not least is safety. Whether it is the safety on our streets, making sure that we are keeping our kids and family safe, to making sure that we have the most powerful military on the face of this planet, As Reagan said, peace through strength, so that our enemies no longer challenge us. And when we look at ISIS today, which has expanded beyond the Middle East, now into large areas of Africa, and I wrote a book about terrorism called Eternal Battle Against Evil. At this rate, Marilyn and John, ISIS could very well likely end up in Latin America in the next 5 years or less. And then, unfortunately, a roadmap and a doorstep into the United States of America. ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab and other organizations threaten the safety of our homeland and of our men and women overseas and of our allies. So there's a lot of aspects that go into leading correctly in Congress, but I think as long as we look at life through the lens of those three core aspects, we can help get America on the right path.
Sounds good. I can't argue with you on any of your points.
Well, thank you, Marilyn. God bless you. Anything else I can answer for you while you got me here?
No, I think you're doing well, but I'll pop up if I think of something else.
Hey, thanks, Marilyn.
Well, thank you.
And our website is voteforavet.com. You can find me on there as well. And you can also find my phone number, email address, website, Facebook, or you can talk to me here on John's program. I love coming on.
Sounds great.
Thank you. Thank you, Marilyn. Hang on, and we'll get back to you later, we hope. Paul, we have another caller. Let's see. These lines, I'm not familiar with the numbers, so I'm going to take it. Let's see. We have a caller from the 937 area code. 830 is the prefix. Caller, your name and where you're calling from, please. 937 area code. I hear a bird.
Would that be me?
I think that's you. And who is calling, sir?
This is Frank from Ohio. Frank Gilbert from Ohio.
Well, Frank, welcome aboard. And do you have a question for Paul Chabot?
Well, how active are you willing to be for the fair tax in specifically? I know a lot of politicians talk about tax reform work, but we need people who are dead on serious about putting the fair tax. So I guess the question is, what's to pass it?
Okay. Well, Frank, you're breaking up there a little bit, but okay.
John, I think
ahead,
I can
Paul.
Answer that. I think I got the gist of it. And from my understanding, the caller was basically saying, look, a lot of politicians, quote unquote, might run on tax reform or fair tax or flat tax or whatever they say during a campaign. But when they get into office, they might do the opposite, or they do the opposite. So it sounds like the caller is asking me that, you know, what are my thoughts on the fair tax, and will I abide by the principles when getting elected in office? So to the caller, hey, thanks for the call and the question. I think John's done an amazing job on educating the community, the region, and the nation on a flat tax. And I can tell John here, I like the flat tax idea a lot. I am so close to writing more about this, so I can put it on my website to talk more about this. John, I'm very close with you on this. I am almost there. I have before believed in a modified version of a flat tax or a fair tax, but you are moving in the right direction, and we know that we cannot sustain as a country where we are today with our current tax status. It's just it is unsustainable. So you're bringing to light an incredibly –
Okay, let's see. Paul, do I still have you there? Okay, let me see if we can get reconnected here. Paul, do I still have your line? Okay.
Hi, John, you've got me. I'm here.
Okay, great. Well, of course, you know I'm not for any income tax at all. I think the answer is a consumption tax. My position since 1968 and I've never been audited. I always tell people this. I have never been audited. My position is that we do away with income taxing, income savings and investment, and also the IRS, and go to a consumption tax. And that way we'd be returning the power of choice back to the people. So they determine what they're going to pay in taxes by how they spend, and it's not taken right off the top as we got started in 1943. We all know that in 1913 we passed the current federal tax system, and in 1943 we made a change and started taking taxes out of paychecks. So at that point, I think it became less than voluntary. But anyhow, we're gonna try to convince you to come over into our tent on this, Paul. We have, and I want to mention this while I'm speaking, and then I'll get back to you here. We've been launching a campaign on PopVox during the first 100 days of the 114th Congress. We're pleased that H.R. 25, the Fair Tax Act, ranked number 2 in the national poll on PopVox out of over 3,100 bills that were introduced. So we've been campaigning our grassroots folks to get out and let Congress know how they feel about taxation and the fair tax. So anyhow, I have another call here, Paul. Sure. I do recognize this number. This is right here in our 8th district. This would be Miss Nancy Kesey. She is a district director for fair tax in the 8th congressional district. Let me get her on.
Sure.
Nancy, do
Hi,
I
John.
Have you on the line? Great.
Can you hear me? Good.
I can hear you fine.
Thank you. Paul, thank you very much for coming on with us tonight and answering some questions. I hope some other people, I know there are people on the line. There always are, but they're a little shy about asking anything. You know,
sure.
We all know that, because John just ran it down and so did you, that we have been under an experiment, let's say. It started out that way, and only time tells in an experiment, unless it's a disaster. And I don't know why the American people have allowed a tax on income.
Yeah.
Because you have to have income to pay a tax.
Sure.
And when you pay it on income, the only way the government can get it is to take it first. Or they have a lengthy compliance situation that you have to comply with each year, if you comply correctly. We already have five different years where apparently a major foundation, I won't mention names, and I'm sure many of us are aware, are refiling their tax returns for those 5 years because they, who filed them in the first place, have somehow noticed that they didn't really comply completely. So, you know, there's an opportunity for people to cheat in many different ways, sometimes out of ignorance and sometimes out of contrived efforts. But so we've had this experiment where labor or those who invest or anything, you're going to be the only one winding up paying for whatever our needs are in this country. So I suggest, and I'm not the first, to say that taxing income is a failed experiment. That happened in the 20th century. We are living in the 21st, and we're still in Washington trying to hang on to this old failed experiment, thinking somehow it's going to work. But we need a 21st century solution for the 21st century. We gave over 100 years to that failed experiment of taxing income. I don't know why anybody would be the slightest bit recalcitrant to give another 100 years to a different system, one that doesn't have the opportunities for corruption through lobbying, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We all know this stuff. Why won't we give it a chance to change our collection method? That's all we're talking about here when we talk about fair tax. Flat tax does not do away with the corruption. Fair tax does away as much as possible. So I contend that if a legislator, that's what worries me about anybody who runs for Congress or Senate, and I think this is what Frank was trying to say, Frank Gilbert, that, you know, do you believe in giving a different collection system of revenue, giving it a chance? Do you really believe it? And that's what we want. We just don't want somebody to placate the public and their constituents. We want them to understand that we have to have consumption as a source of revenue. And I'm not going to go all into other benefits and that of the fair tax, but the major reason is under income tax, the power rests in the hands of the legislators. And you tell us that you wish to become one. And I do believe your heart is in the right place. But the things you said that you wanted to do was to provide basically opportunity, restore us to safety, and that can be in this country as well as outside this country, and family. Well, with the fair tax, that is more of a possibility than the fewer and fewer people who are working, because that's who pays taxes. So that I wanted to make that comment, and I wanted to make it very clear to you that people who believe in the fair tax, if you're going to run, I'm sure that people will back you in that effort to run. If they really believe that you understand the fair tax and switching to consumption. So mine was more of a comment. I just really wanted to let you know that we're ready for a change, and our PopVox numbers show that. So thank you very much for coming on.
No, you're welcome, and thanks for having me. And I think you've hit up some core issues here, which puts the fair tax in play. When we talk about corruption, and John, can you still hear me?
I have you loud and clear, Paul.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, I think when we look at the issues that we're dealing with today in this country with corruption, corruption is rampant, and many
Paul, do we have you? I think we have lost our guest for a moment while he is waiting to probably dial in. Let me take another caller here. I recognize the number. I have a caller here from the 843 area code, 422. Would this be Ken Smith?
It sure is, John. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you fine. Maybe you want to chat for a little bit, and we'll see if Paul dials back in or if I can try to reach him on another line.
Well, the thing that I heard Paul say, I'd say this if he were on the line, I was concerned when he was using the term flat tax, insinuating in the sense that he was being won over onto the flat tax. And
yeah,
I'm not sure. I hope he'll explain that a little bit, I'm sure. But
Ken, excuse me. I think we have him back on the line here.
Oh,
Hold on a second.
Good. Sure.
Hey, John,
Paul, we lost you for a while. You dropped off. Well, we have Dr. Ken Smith on the line. I might mention that Paul Chabot is also a doctor, but not an MD type. And Dr. Ken Smith from the Bay Area, who's our current Fair Tax State Director, is an MD, and he wanted to chat with you a bit.
Hey, great. Well, it's good to have you here. I appreciate it, and thanks for the discussion.
Well, thank you, Paul. I also am a former Navy guy myself as well. I left the Navy as a lieutenant commander myself in many years ago. I was in the medical corps.
Oh, gosh. Well, welcome home, shipmate. Hopefully you can help this sailor navigate the waters here of the taxation questions. And I think it'll be a good discussion. I think it's great to have you on here as well. So let me ask you this, that I truly believe we have a problem in this country, desensitization. We've gone down the road of failed social programs, now a major tax burden across the country on working families and businesses. I see that for the most part, because these changes have happened incrementally over time, unfortunately, the people just sort of accept where it is. And I think it's up to us to ring the bell and say, look, the system's broken. We've got to get back to a system that makes sense. All of us know that money corrupts, and the more money that Washington takes in, the more they spend. I believe we can do better with less. But if you can help me, because there's one issue, and I had a good debate on this about a year ago, when I was looking at tax reform, and how do we answer the question that we will have a sustainable base of funds for, say, the military, to keep our strong military intact? How do we address those concerns that people might bring up because they're fearful of any change because of what they might envision could be the worst-case scenario? Any ideas or suggestions when we go about talking about changing the system into something better?
Well, Paul, the way I would answer that is, I'm not an economist. I'm a retired doctor. But those economists who have studied this have come away saying many times that consumption is a much more stable revenue source than income. Income
sure
fluctuates very widely depending upon
sure
all sorts of factors, whereas consumption is much, much more stable. And
right,
I understand the hesitancy because this would be a huge paradigm shift for all of us. But when you really, really, truly study it, and I hope you've had the opportunity to really look at all of the pros and cons, we feel that we have many more pros than cons. And
sure,
you hear the party line of, it's going to be unfair to the poor, and it's going to be unfair to the middle class and those kinds of things. It's not true. Those statements are not true, in fact. So we would hope I was just commenting to John just before you came back on the line that I was a little disturbed when I heard you say you were getting more and more close to a flat tax, and
I appreciate that. What I meant was not at all that I'm supporting a flat tax. It's that I have looked at both the flat tax, the fair tax, and so I'm not saying I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm still a work in progress on this. What I can assure you is that the system we have right now is broken. I very much like what I hear about the fair tax. I want to make sure, though, that I fully educate myself, as all your listeners and everybody does, so we can carry the torch of change. We can talk about where we are as a nation, unsustainable right now, how the high taxes reduce worker productivity. My wife and I are middle class, struggling, 4 kids to our taxes every year, and we look at that, and of course the income tax being a big hit for many, many families. And I do not see a consumption tax in any way problematic. To me, it is a very fair way of looking at this, that we're all in this together, all working together, and if we're able to increase jobs, people have more money, they're able to spend more money, people are able to invest more money, thereby creates a more prosperous society. And so that's my goal and objective, is that I can be somebody who's very well educated, well versed, can discuss these points with my colleagues and friends and help people find comfort in change and not to be afraid of it simply because it is change. So I come to you all out of humility saying, I know we need to do something different, but and I still know that I need to learn more about all of the great things that you're talking about Fair Tax can do for this country.
Well, I did not mean to sound sound critical, but I just wanted to make sure you were clearly aware that the flat tax is a flat income tax and would maintain the IRS, as Frank Gilbert said in his call-in to you a little bit ago. And you know, we have a presidential candidate right now, Ted Cruz, who is a co-sponsor of the Fair Tax, the Senate bill. And so, therefore, he's made open statements that he wants to abolish the IRS. But right. At the same time, he states that he's more in favor of sort of a path to doing that is the first stage of having a flat tax. But if you have a flat tax, that's why we all started in 1913, really. And then it got morphed into this 80,000-page monstrosity that nobody understands.
Sure.
And so we... In fact, I'm actually, as we're speaking, I'm looking at a letter that Ted Cruz sent back to one of our district directors, and he makes a statement. He said that the code should be simple enough for Americans to understand and impossible for special interests to exploit. Now,
right.
A flat tax would not be impossible for special interests to exploit, but truly a fair tax would be. So I would just encourage you that I'm just hoping that we can truly have somebody that we see go to Congress who will have the spine to stand up and speak for what, which I hear you say, you're saying, I like the three components you talked about, jobs, family, safety. Those are critical. And to have the stand, to be able to stand up and say, you know, no, I'm not going to accept that. You did not tell me the truth. Now tell me the truth. We seem to have, it's okay to lie now in this country, and our morals are so down the toilet, in my opinion, that I just yearn for somebody like yourself to be able to have the spine and the other body parts that would be able to say, hey, wait a minute, you're not going to pull me, you're not going to jerk me around, this is the truth, I want the truth, don't feed me lies.
Well,
thank you
so
much.
Doctor. No, you're welcome, Doctor, and you're right. This is something that I think John and many of you are well aware of, that you know, today's voters, the voters that are paying attention, the voters that vote often and work hard at understanding the issues, are very frustrated with both parties. I saw that very clearly in the 2014 cycle for Congress that I ran in, talking to all spectrums of voters, but what I did not anticipate was the level of frustration with voters door to door to door with the way, not only the way our country is going, but in the concern of people that we elect who we hope would do one thing as they said, as they promised, and then they do something completely different. And I can tell you, having been back in D.C. where I had worked for 6 years, doing policy, there is a D.C. mentality, a beltway mentality that happens. And I think that, you know, part of how we select candidates should be through a very rigorous process with holding their feet to the fire, but also demanding strong character. And I think when we look at society today, politicians get away with lying. It happens in the media. It happens with major presidential candidates, as we're seeing today with Hillary Clinton. When our children learn from adults that it's okay just to lie and get around, I think we lose something so precious that is required for a free society and a free democracy. I think our founding fathers really demanded that accountability. That we were really about the people. And today we've gotten away from that. It is about the special interests. I can tell you, running for Congress is one of the most challenging things anybody could do. And I think any good-hearted American have to watch the process have to ask themselves, how did it get this bad? How did it get to a point today where we no longer have elections, we have auctions, that it is whoever can raise the most money from special interests that are out there becomes the candidate of choice by the special interests, and then they spend that money for that candidate on TV and radio and mass mailing, and they can slander the heck out of the best person and make the electorate believe things that aren't true. There's so many things that we have to do to right this ship. It's about holding people accountable, not letting people get away with being dishonest. And I think that when we look at this through one lens, and that's the lens of being a father, you know, how do we want to lead? And what kind of nation do we want to hand these kids? And the nation that we're handing them, what are the values that we as the adults that are left here today have instilled for them? I'm afraid that we have incrementally gone down the wrong path, morally, spiritually, economically, which is why voters in this district and maybe across this country are very frustrated, really want real change and not a campaign slogan of change.
Well, right you are, Paul, and I'll tell you what, the folks that we have on the line, the most of them I can tell you are very, very serious, conscientious citizens. They're the folks that are out there working or paying taxes, and they do care. And I'll tell you what, I'll take a second here, and anybody that is on the line tonight, anybody that's listening to us that would like to talk with Dr. Paul Chabot, please press the 1 on your telephone. That way I'll see that your hand is up, and I'll get to you just as soon as possible. And I do see a few hands have gone up rather quickly here, Paul. I have another caller from the 760 area code, and that's 760694 prefix. I think I identify the number. This is Deanne DeLean from the 8th Congressional District. Deanne, how are you?
I'm doing fine. And I think Paul Chabot will probably swing our way, because I went to, I call it his coming out party, his second one, and I asked if I could pass out fair tax cards to all the people that were there. And he said certainly, and he wanted to learn more about it. So that seems to be a man who really wants to know more about fair tax. And I passed them all out, and they were all very receptive about the cards. So I have a hunch that if we keep talking to him and showing him what fair tax is really all about, and he gets to read the law, 132-page law about fair tax, I think, you know, he's an intelligent person, and he'll see the right way. That's what I have to say.
Yeah, not the law, the proposed bill, but... And I heard you sometimes say before, Deanne, that if and when Paul Chabot comes over to the Fair Tax camp, that you were going to volunteer to help his campaign. Is that right?
Yes, I told him face to face that I would help
okay,
him.
We're going to hold your feet to the fire on that one, I can tell you. And,
I will have.
I want to take... Okay, I want to take 1 second again. If you're wanting to talk to Dr. Chabot and you're on the line, you'll have to press the 1 on your telephone. Then we'll see that your hand is raised, and we'll get you on the air just as soon as we can. Deanne, did you have any other questions that you would like to ask or anything else you'd like to say?
Not right now.
Okay,
thanks,
thank
Deanne.
You.
Great hearing from you, and thanks for coming out to our event. You're always welcome to attend, to speak on fair tax and hand out information, and continue to educate me. I do need it. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Deanne. And we're going to go farther than that, Paul. You know, Tom McClintock is a co-sponsor of H.R. 25, and so is Daryl Issa. So we're going to do our best to get our big guns. Steve King is a co-sponsor from Iowa, by the way.
Wow.
And so is Rob Woodall. He is the sponsor from Georgia. So we're going to have Tom McClintock's going to be on the show on May the 13th. I would like to, before I forget, invite you to call in and have a few words with Tom McClintock while he's on the air, too. So,
that would be fantastic. Thank you, John.
Okay. We have another caller. I only have a partial list. My former producer, who is in Chattanooga, Tennessee, is busy. He's a songwriter and a entertainer, and he's busy making money. So I don't have the complete list here. The next caller is from the 831 area code. Prefix is 678. Let's open that line and see who we have. Caller, 831 area code, your name, where you're calling from, please.
Hi, this is Frank calling from Salinas.
Oh, Frank, well, how are you? You're also a district director. I'm getting all the district directors. And what district do you end up there?
I'm in 20. That's Sam Farr's
20.
District.
Okay, I'll let you go. I'm sure you have a question or comment you'd like to make to Dr. Chabot.
I do. Sir, I'm an entrepreneur, an aspiring entrepreneur, and I've had only expenses for 5 years now, no profits. And as far as I understand it, I can only write off my expenses against profits. And there's a 3-year period which I can do that. So I've already have 2 years that I can't write off any expenses. And obviously I hope to make a profit one day, but I don't, the government is taking zero risk. I'm taking in excess of 100% of the risk.
Right.
So the way our tax system is configured right now, it oppresses people that are trying to start small businesses. Okay.
Yeah.
The only thing fair tax and flat tax have in common is the word tax. Any reform which doesn't dismantle the IRS is fake reform. And if we get a flat tax, as John has said many times, this is going to set us back perhaps 20 years. Please do not compromise on this. Do not vote for the lesser of two evils. Abstain if you have to. Do not give any indication that you would be willing to vote for a flat tax. It's just the system is broken. Let's not exchange one broken system for another broken system. And that's all I got. Thank you.
No, hey, thanks, Frank. God bless you. As an entrepreneurial myself, I can tell you we all struggle. In California, you and I and many others have to pay a ridiculous $800 a year tax just the state of California, just to be in business, whether or not we earn money or not. Very difficult in California, let alone with the federal taxes and then the write-off complications and then finding a good accountant who knows how to work those books and then filing. It is a very complicated process. I even run a nonprofit trying to keep kids off drugs, and the filing on those documents is beyond confusing. So we've created an entire network of people that we rely on, and if the ordinary average American can't do their taxes, and I'm one of them because it is extremely confusing, Houston, we've got a problem. And so, Frank, thanks for taking the risk for being in business. You're here in California, so you're getting double whammied with the state tax issues that we have. So clearly you're passionate about this, and you're speaking to it from personal experience as what makes America great. It's the backbone of our industry and our economy. It's those small businesses, and we've got to do a much better job because we've got about a 90% failure rate of small businesses. And I can pretty much tell you that I think government regulation, high taxes, really discourage businesses and also help our new businesses flounder or fail. And that's un-American. So, Frank, I'm going to keep your story with me and do all I can to fight the change to make sure we can strengthen this process. So thank you for sharing that with me and also the concerns about the flat tax. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Frank, for that. Paul, we have another caller in. I'm trying to get Southern California people here if I can. 760 area code. The number is 243 on the. Well, wait a minute. Let me get 240 on the prefix. So Caller 760-240, prefix your name and where you're calling from, please. 760 area code, prefix 240.
Hello.
Do we have you? Hello?
Hello, John. This is Raul Rodriguez.
Well, Raul, welcome aboard. We have Paul Chabot on the air with us, and I'm sure you have a question or a comment you'd like to make.
Yes, I've been listening to the show. I know Paul. I've met him several times, and I'd just like to share my support for Paul, and also would like to say that I'm willing to work to get you elected.
Hey, thanks, Raul. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. We've got a long, hard road in front of us to win back this seat, but I will say some good news about it. This race, this seat, it is one of 19 targeted by the Republican Party to win back in 2016. As many of you know, we had no such support in 2014. We were left to fend for ourselves, outspent 8-1, and almost won this thing. We dealt with a lot of outside special interest money that just came at us so hard. And I'll tell you what, if we ran campaigns so that we could go home and be proud and look our kids in the eye, the other side wouldn't have ran such a dishonest campaign. But that's what we're facing. But at least this time, Raul, we're going to have some cover. We're going to have some overhead cover, it looks like, by the National Republican Party targeting my progressive opponent and some other good organizations helping us to win this seat back. And then I think from that, set a good example about how we can work together as a team to rebuild common sense, strong conservative fiscal principles that focus on making America great again.
Well, that's what we need, someone like you that's willing to fight and take back, reclaim America, because we're in a desperate situation.
It is, my friend. And I tell you, when I speak to younger generations about this, the 21 through 25-year-olds, I ask them to go rent the movie The Matrix. Came out about 10 years ago with Keanu Reeves. And it's a movie that I think resembles life today with the challenges, and that, you know, many, unfortunately, people just go along with how things are. But a few of us wake up and we look around and we ask ourselves, what happened and how did we get here and how can we get this back? I think we're seeing a lot of people beginning to awaken to the problems that we're seeing socially, economically, domestically, internationally. And I don't feel we're so alone anymore in this, but we need people like you who've been awake, been on the forefront, to keep charging that hill every single day, to know that you've got friends out there like me right there alongside you. I could be 10 miles, 3,000 miles away, but as long as we keep pushing forward in the same direction and not give up, I think we can save this great union and hand our kids off a nation that we all can be very, very proud of.
Well, you're right. That's why I'm willing to support you any way I can, financially, and also walking your district and get support so you can get elected.
Hey, thanks.
By the way,
Raul,
I'm the guy that made the videos for you. I met you at a fundraiser. I don't know if you had a chance to view those, but we call him the runner.
Hey, God bless you guys for doing God's work.
All right. Thank you.
Good stuff. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, Raul just returned from Sacramento. He testified on the toll lanes and the immigration situation up there. And Raul, do we still have you with us?
Yes, I'm still on, John.
Yeah, I wonder if you could kind of give us a little little update on what went on in Sacramento.
Yeah, I'd just like to share with your callers. We 12 of us drove up to Sacramento this last weekend. We spent 3 days there. And what we did is we lobbied as many of the legislators as we could. We went into their offices. We talked to them. We tried to gain their support, especially the Republicans. Now, we shouldn't have to lobby the Republicans, but that's what we're doing. Also, the Democrats. Now, we were able to attend two different hearings. We testified on both. The first one was for toll roads. And, you know, it's just so disheartening because after they took the vote, it was 11-0 for toll roads, which is terrible. The second one was SB 10, which deals with illegal immigration. Now, there's a senator, Ricardo Lara, who is promoting illegal immigration. Every bill that he introduces for the state of California is actually helping illegal immigrants, immigration, you know, the ones that cross the border illegally and that lawbreakers. And those are the ones that we're trying to go after Ricardo Lara because basically he is working for illegal immigration rather than for the American people. And it's just terrible that we have an elected official that's willing to work for the other side instead of American citizens. And that count, once we testified, and so what happened was the count was actually 6-4 SB 10, and 5 didn't vote. Now, one of those happened to be one that voted no was a Democrat, which was great. So it wasn't a total loss. Now, we plan on going to Sacramento sometime around late May, early June, before the assembly for the same bill, and we're going to try to get as many people to go to Sacramento that time because we need a lot of support from the American people. We have to wake up, America, because, like I said before, we are in desperate situation because they're taking our rights away.
Right, you are, Raul. And for the audience, Raul Rodriguez works with a number of groups, and it's been my pleasure to go out with him and Robin Vinson, and we've called on people such as Barbara Boxer's office here and others. And I have to say this and give kudos to your group, Raul. When we talked about pop box as a method to stand up and be counted on the illegal immigration issue, at that time on pop box, 240 had only 22% of the Californians that were on our side of the issue. And thanks to you, in 8 days, the people standing, brought that up to 60-some percent. So a few people that are serious about doing things can make things happen. And thank you for that, Raul, and appreciate your comments.
Well, John, it was actually through you. You made it possible for us to go on Pop Box, and you kind of taught us how to get on there and do what we have to do. I would like to make one more remark. Maria Espinosa is from Texas. She has, I don't know if you're familiar with the Remembrance Project, and what she does is she makes people aware of the fact that thousands of citizens are being killed by illegal citizens. And she's also going to start another project, which is America First Latinos. And what we want to do is we want to educate the Latinos, not only in California, but throughout the United States, to make them aware of the fact that they have to be able to say something about illegal immigration. It's bad. It's not good for the American people. And we need to stand up as Latinos, as Hispanics, as Mexicans. We have to stand up and say, America should come first. That's why it's called America First Latinos.
Well, amen. So, amen. Thank you for that, Raul.
Well, thank you, John.
Paul, I want to get back to you. I know that there are plenty that you would have to say, and we want to hand the mic back to you so you have an opportunity to put out your contact information, how people might donate to your campaign, how they can help you. We're going to, within our Fair Tax community, we're going to do our best to get you educated on taxation as quickly as possible, and hopefully we're going to be an assist on your campaign. And we've got some people that we help that are now congressmen The last cycle, a good fellow by the name of Heiss, a clergyman down in Georgia, who's been on the show and others. And so we want you to know that whatever we can do to help you in your quest for answers on taxation, we're gonna be there for you. And I'm going to hand the mic to you, and you tell us what else you want to talk about tonight.
Sure, and I appreciate that. You've already got some great folks here on your line. You got a great team, John. You really do. And I think that's just a testament to the hard work and to the message. It sounds like you've got some great supporters across the country. You know, Daryl Issa and the guests that you're going to have in mid-May. I believe you're going to have another California congressman on, Tom McClintock. So you've got some stellar Republicans out there who are already serving in office and coming to you and on your show and being supportive. That's awesome. I'm going to be in D.C. that week. I'm looking forward to catching up with some of these members as well, and I will pose the question to as many of them as possible as well. And I hope to have a good discussion with them. I hope they are educated on the issue, and that by the time I get there, I can speak the language and understand it and be able to affirmatively answer. And I think it's going to be a debate. I think there will always be a debate. I think we need a good, healthy debate on these issues. So I think it should be robust and very well received across this country. You know, so how can people help in this particular race? Well, a few things. Prayer. You know, who are we to say where we're going to be tomorrow? That's in God's hands. But I can say that I felt that God gives us all a mission. He nudges us in direction, and it's up to us which way we decide to go in life. And so today, for now, this is the fight that I think God wants me in, and I'm honored to be in this fight. And I hope to get elected to Congress, but to get there, I do need help. And from that help, obviously, political contributions from ordinary average Americans is critical. In this last quarter, we had over 325 donors from across the country participate in making donations to our race. And if anybody would like to, they can visit our website and click on the donate link. Our website is voteforavet.com. And they can also email me directly to reach out. My personal email is paul@paulchabot.com, and that's chabot.com. And for those who like to walk and make phone calls and do everything else that grassroots campaigning needs, we need you. We absolutely need you. In fact, the grassroots people that worked on our race in 2014 helped us win amongst the high propensity voters across all spectrums, and that's credit, I think, to the good American spirit. So for anybody that would like to help in that area, please also reach out to me at that email address at paul@paulchabot.com. And I'd also like to just speak real briefly, 30 seconds. You could do a whole show on it. But when we look at what we're seeing coming out of Baltimore, when you're looking at the local citizens in that city talking about what they are so frustrated with, they are talking about a city that has been run by the far left for a generation, on those values, their own principles that have really hurt so many of these big cities across America. We can think of Detroit. We can think of Chicago with the violence on the streets, and now Baltimore. And I think what's interesting is when you listen to the people that are out there rioting who are clearly breaking the law, they are yelling back saying that they wanted jobs, that they wanted opportunities. None of those things excuse that behavior. But what I find so fascinating about this is they are living in a city that is far left ideology, progressive liberalism, and they have gotten nowhere in that city or many others. The schools are failing. Crime is on the rise. Poverty in Baltimore is skyrocketing. And so we know that the principles and the values of that far left are not applicable to this country for us to be sustainable. We've got to get back to the basics. And I think what you talk about with looking at our tax structure, the problems we have with the IRS, are critical to moving forward. And I can promise you this, you will have somebody who will be an ally, who will be a friend, who will be somebody who's going to learn and listen and will always look at life as a lifetime responsibility of learning. So I need you and I appreciate you and all your listeners and supporters. Thank you very much and God bless.
Whoa, there's that sound Congress makes so often. You know what it is, right? Yep, that's right. That's what they've been doing to one of the most important pieces of legislation in Congress since 1999. That would be the fair tax. They've been putting it off all this time and not passing the law. And why? Because it takes a lot of power away from them. You know that, right? Surely you know that. It takes that power from Congress and puts it squarely in our hands so that we can control a little bit more about what goes on there in Washington, D.C. And there is no other legislation that will accomplish that. None. You have to get busy and make your congresspeople support the fair tax. That's H.R. 25 in the House and S-122 in the Senate. The fair tax. Visit FairTaxNation.com to learn how you can help. Okay? Do it right now. FairTaxNation.com. If you don't, this is what's going to happen.